I want us to look at a word. It's a frightening word now. And that word is solitude. For the prisoner is called solitary confinement. The world will look at solitude in one way, and they look at it as psychological stress, psychological hurt, pain, and psychological loneliness. But I want you to know, Christian, solitude is not psychological for the Christian. Solitude is a place for Christians. It's a physical place. Well, tell me where that place is and I'll go to it. That place has come to you and to me. Solitude for the Christian is a place. I have had a difficult time this morning, and I want you all to help me with this, and I apologize. Very good friend of mine, prisoner of war, building named after him in Morgan French. Thank you, Faye. Morgan French, as he would tell, as a prisoner of war with the under the Japanese, a prisoner of war for over 3 years. And he would tell stories about what went on in those prison camps. Many you would not want to hear. But the greatest blessing I received from Morgan, and there were many of them, that blessing happened to be when he said, "Well, we were never really alone, Brother Larry. God was with us." That's the place I'm talking about. Those of us who served, we know that we were told that no matter what goes on, if you're captured, take that man to another place. Don't look at your surroundings as a death camp, as a prison. Within your spirit, Christian, God has given you the wisdom to go to his chamber. Now, God looks at you. He looks at me. And he said, "I want to talk to you." See, solitude is the audience chamber of God. I'm going to that place. I can go to that place standing still. I can go to that place no matter what's going on with me physically. If we're going through torture, which many are going through today in the United States of America and in all churches throughout our land, torture. Satan indwells and tortures. Satan walks down the aisles of our churches, sits on the pews of our churches to sow discord, bitterness. And God tells us, go to my place. Jesus went to that place many, many times in his ministry. Jesus is teaching us about the power of solitude. Now I have, I think, in your bulletins given you a definition of solitude. I've got it up here, I guess. The definition of solitude, and that is to be alone. Hear me, Christian. As a Christian, you will never, ever be alone. God will place in your heart the words to pray. The Holy Spirit will indwell you. Because that's God's place. Solitude. Where I go to pour out my heart to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thanking him for everything. I don't just praise God for the gifts that he's given us in life. I thank God for my cancer. I've told you all that many times. I praise God for whatever comes. Because I know something. I know something, folks. And that something is, if it's not going to help me, God would not have allowed it to be there. Therefore, there's an opportunity to grow. God says, I want you to grow in spirit. Well, the spirit he's wanting us to grow into is the Holy Spirit. He's saying, look, you're messed up, Larry. But I'm going to give you my spirit, and you can come to my place anytime. You and I have Christians. Invited to God's place anytime. Doesn't matter whether I'm up, doesn't matter where I'm down. I have a standing invitation from God. Come talk to me, Larry. In that place that Jesus went to so often. Gospel of Matthew chapter 14 verse 23. After he had dismissed them, it's a crowd, it's the disciples. After he dismissed them. Now, let me tell you something on this. For those of you who study Scripture a lot, you will remember the place, the house that Jesus went to. He was called there to bring a young girl back to life. And as he goes up to the door, many behind him, supposed to be believers, but certainly Jews. He said, the girl's not dead. She's just sleeping. And the scripture lets us know that they laughed. Can't you imagine what they were thinking? Who does this guy think he is? But let me tell you what he did. He went in the house and put them out. Those of you who want to laugh at Jesus, he says, get on the other side of the door. I don't need you in here. Get on the other side, because I'm going to show the believers the power of my Father in heaven. And when he put them out, he came walking out with a girl. What's that tell us? Jesus says, I want you to come to me in my place. Now, if there's any hindrance out there against you, don't you worry. I'll put it out the door. I will sweep out the trash. I will put it out the door, and I, my spirit, stands guard. That's what he's telling us about our individual lives. He's telling us, I want you to pay attention. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there all alone. Everything Jesus did, every story, every parable, everything Jesus did was for our benefit. Every step is a lesson for us. Every insult hurled at him, he lets us know it will be hurled at you because you follow me. That's a badge of honor. That's a badge of honor. Because Jesus said, I am in charge. I know a place. I know a place that is not built by hands. I know a place at any point, at any second, in any situation that I can go for ultimate protection. I know a place. And I know who I'm going to meet at that place. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He said, that's my place, Larry. Oh, as I've preached all of these years here, folks, that's what our children need when they come home at night. A place where they can shut the door and say, phew, I made it through another day. That's the place where that ought to take place. But without Jesus, that place will be bare. There'll be no furniture there. But Jesus says, come, let me introduce you to the King of the Thrones. Let me show you what I have waiting for you. Come to my place, and I will protect you. I will give you strength. I will give you courage. I'll give you that holy boldness. And that holy boldness is simply this. Though I stand there, I will shake. I will tremble. I will stutter because of my human condition. And the Lord says, here's the difference, Christian. Though you stumble, though you shake, though you have the human fear, holy boldness is you go anyway. You go anyway. The Lord says, don't you worry. I got a place. Come to me. Hear my voice. Feel my touch. Come to my place. Solitude. The solace of the mind. Solitude. Solitude just so happens to be that place where you and I receive Holy Spirit power. You got me? You listen to me. You go to this place called solitude. Jesus built it for us. All the world can't see it. You can't see it. I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he went to that cross, and I believe that he took every evil that I would ever have in my heart, and he shed his blood, and he gave his life. But he came back again because he said, I love you, and I got a place for you. Larry, you don't have to die to come to my place. Just shut up and listen. Because my place is already in you. My kingdom has already come. Some, he said, will look for a kingdom to come. But my kingdom is here already. Jesus has a place. Oh, it's important when you go to the different places and you can say, I know so-and-so. Good friend of mine. Well, come right on in. Most of the time, so-and-so don't even know who they are. But you come right on in. Jesus says to his Father and ours, I know him. Jesus knows my name. Now, you think that ain't something? Jesus knows your name. He knows the new name he has already for you. He knows a whole lot more than we do, don't he? But he says that solitude is where our prayers receive the Holy Spirit power. Here I am, Jesus says. He was all alone. To the world, it would look at that and they'd say, isn't that sad? As a Christian, you will never, ever be all alone. When you go to Jesus' place, you're not alone. You may feel alone. All your earthly friends may have walked away from you, normally because of something foolish. Go to Jesus' place. Oh, how many over the years, if I could only have got that through their hard heads, that they would be alive today. There's a great physician, mental, emotional, physical physician. He's alive, and he's invited us to come to his place, right where you are. If you're driving down the road now, listening to this on a radio, you make sure you pull off the road and then go to that place. But Jesus says, listen, I want to give you this power. Romans 8:26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. I can't even count my weaknesses. That shows you that my mind is weak, because I can't remember them. Mostly because a lot of them, I'm thankful I don't remember. And every time I say this, I see the reruns coming up there. Think of it. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Did you know that? You remember that in Scripture? I don't even know what to ask God for. Do I ask God, Lord, deliver me? I can ask that if I would say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, heal my broken leg or my broken Achilles, because I might limp and I don't have my spirit healed. What good is that, folks? What good is it to have everything you can possibly think of, humanly possible think of, and yet lose your own soul? Well, we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. Listen to how the Spirit intercedes for us. With groans that words cannot express. Oh, me. With groans that words cannot express. Jesus says, when I come to you, I've come to give you rest. I've come to bring my word. I am going to indwell you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Come on to my place. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, in accordance with God's will. You and I are made perfect through Christ. It has nothing to do with us being perfect. Well, you know, that's why I'm not a Christian. Because, you see, Brother Larry, you don't understand. I'm such a hypocrite. Yeah, well, welcome to Christianity. Think of it. People think of every reason not to give their heart to Christ. But I want you to think about this also. We laugh, we have fun, God gives us a good life, we work, some look for retirement, others' retirement is in their ministry. But do you know something? When we have a loved one that leaves this world, you will watch individuals as they search, or as they would say, can somebody get the preacher? Will you call the preacher? The preacher is Christ. Pastors, evangelists, preachers, all we are individuals blessed to be called by God to speak His word. He is the great physician. He is the great preacher. Well, how will I learn that? Jesus would say, come to my place. Come to solitude. You just walk right on in. Come to my place, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because then you're truly blessed. He indwells us through His Spirit. Many people I know have given up hope. Giving up. I don't know why, but, you know, I just quit. Jesus comes to us, knows the hurt and pain we have in our life. I don't care what the doctors say about impossible. Because when I go to Jesus' place, that's where everything, the impossible, is made possible. I went to solitude. Where'd you spend your vacation? Solitude. You lost it, haven't you, preacher? Solitude. Me and the Lord. where he will see me as I really am. You and I won't be able to cover up the hurt or the pain. We want no one else to know about. Wonder why then Jesus wants to know about it. Because he wants to take it away. And he wants to refill you. Hear me now. Refill you at his place. And he will take that pain, that hurt, that impossibility. Oh my goodness. How many times, it's just like our country today on every station, you try to find out what the weather report is even, and here they're telling us what's going to happen in 100 years and they can't even tell us if it's going to rain tomorrow. Think of that. Isn't it amazing? Jesus said, you come to my place, solitude, and the impossible becomes possible. Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them and said, he's looking at the Pharisees. He's looking at some of his followers. He looked at them, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible with God. That's what being a born again is. All things are possible with God. So if I know then that all things are possible with God, why would I not want to go to his place and say, Lord, they've told me that this is impossible. Listen again, Christian. Don't you dare let someone ever tell you it's because your faith was too weak that you were not healed. The only faith that I have is what Jesus takes control of. And he says, Larry, I will give you more faith as you use what I've given. I won't waste it. But you see, it's not dependent on me. That's why Christians are considered crazy. Because not only do we believe we can speak to the deity, we know we can speak to the deity, and we also know he talks back. Most of the time telling us to be quiet so he can be about his business. Why would he do that in that place called solitude? Well, you know, that's where his son lives. We're family. When we're family, we're family. And I'm not talking about biological family. Maybe yes, maybe no. I'm talking about the family of God. You got that? I don't care what name of the Southern Baptist brand. I don't care about any of that stuff. I care about an individual having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. That's what I'm interested in. Care what you call yourself in denomination. Let me tell you something. I'm a Christian. So therefore, I guess you say that's my denomination. I frankly would not walk out the door to go to a political rally because of Republicans and Democrats or independents. Let me tell you something, folks. I've been there. A lot of evil all around. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But I know a place called solitude. Solitude. Where are you going, Larry? I'm going to solitude. Told you all he was nuts. What a blessing. Jesus says, they'll say that you are out of your mind for believing what I have shared with you. How do I know that they will do that to us, Christian? They did it to Jesus. His own brothers and sisters came, and the scripture says they came to get him because they thought he was out of his mind. And Jesus wouldn't even go out to greet them. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. come to my place. I'll meet you there. Don't have to get dressed up. Don't have to get dressed down. All we need to do is to understand solitude is a place. It's a country. It's a part, the biggest part of our whole human life even. If you didn't have a place to go like solitude, where Jesus is, do you really believe that you would keep any basic sanity that you have? Have you paid attention to the life, the older you get, how many hurts, pains, brokenness, and disasters you've had to go through? And in every time, we would cry out, Lord, save us! Guess what? He did it every time. He just always will. Because he said, I got a place for you. Oh, think of it, Brother Randy. I got a place for you. I go to prepare that place for you. And one day you're coming to be with me. You want the preview of that place Jesus is talking about? It's in solitude. I will show you from my spirit to your spirit how much I love you. Christianity is a lifestyle. But folks, it's Jesus' lifestyle. I haven't got it right yet. You know something else? In this human condition, I won't. But I know where to go. A place called solitude. How could it get any better than that? Let's pray. Father, we lift our heart to you, Lord. We ask, dear Heavenly Father, that as you touch our life, as you move within us, Lord, each one of us will be reminded of the place you've told us to come to, that place called solitude. We ask that blessing now, Father, as you touch each heart, each commitment, and we ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.